Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So your youth was atypical. School days, sleepovers, even a full-on games room. But somehow you had to balance that normality with the growing proof this house is not just haunted, but bulging with entities. Watchful, some nondescript, some clearly dark. But you're an adult now, you're grown, married, settled, rational. So when that darkness never feels like it leaves you, no matter where you move, what happens if it comes back closer than ever? That's the question faced by today's experiencer on the penultimate episode of season 22 of The Dark Paranormal.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal. Season 22.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, yes, to the penultimate episode of season 22 of The Dark Paranormal. First and foremost, thank you all for joining us on this journey throughout a rather transformative season, which in all truth has held us in really good stead for the changes upcoming for season 23. Because following next week's episode, of course, we take our standard 3-week break, returning on the 3rd week with the beginning of season 23. We will, of course, have a pre-season show on the week before season 23 debuts, but the date that you need to circle in your calendar for the return of the revamped Dark Paranormal is actually the 23rd of January. So, season 23 resumes on the 23rd. Call that serendipity, call it coincidence. I'll call it coincidence. Let's not look too much into that. But what I've really loved about doing this season in particular is two main things. One, it's solidified what I've always said, this is your show. And the changes we make for season 23 embody that more than anything we've ever done. Also, with the addition on Patreon of a new show called After Dark, it's allowed me to be more myself when discussing the paranormal. It allows me to be me, to discuss paranormal theories, and it literally is press record, don't edit, and 30 minutes of me thinking. So you can see the thought process, you can see me skip from idea to idea, and eventually when we open our Patreon-only forum for next month, that will be a great bone of contention for people to have positive discussions about whether they agree, disagree, have their own point of view or perspective on a specific situation. Now, speaking of Patreon, of course, we give a free trial week away at any tier you like, and I know I say it a lot at this time of year, but if it was me, as I already have with many shows, I sign up to the lowest tier of Patreon because you get an ad-free feed until at least the end of January. Any good podcast that advertisers want you will be inundated between now and at least the end of January. Not buy that one cup of coffee and have ad-free episodes to listen to. So that I don't have to, if driving, for example, put up with 4 minutes of somebody else talking about a subject I'm not bothered about. And the links for those trials for Patreon, or if you wish to become a full member, are indeed in the show notes, as is the link to send your own personal paranormal experience over to the show, and believe me, regardless of length, we will make sure it finds an audience. But right now, for the penultimate time this season, it's time. Lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about something evil with intent. Hello, Kevin. I'm a fairly new listener to the show, and I've enjoyed every minute I've listened to so far. My name is Damon, and I thought about sharing my experiences for some time now. I just haven't found the best outlet for my stories until now. I've always been interested in the paranormal, and I've always tried to make sure I acknowledge and show respect for those experiences. Things that many would describe as odd or unnatural have been present around my family since I was an infant. I'm now 25. Some of these accounts are based on what my family members have told me, and others are personal experiences. It all seemed to begin in our townhouse in Miami, Florida. My mother was working from home, my father in school, and myself being 1 or 2 years old. My parents described the back doors of the house as extremely tall, with the top of the glass portion of the door being at least 8 to 9 feet tall. They can't recall any inciting circumstances for this occurrence, but they would repeatedly observe what looked to be handprints on either side of an impression of a face on the top of the glass, almost like someone was peering into the house. This is frightening as fact alone, but what made it even more unusual was the fact that when my father would attempt to wipe the marks away, it sometimes would be impossible. He'd have to give it 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 goes. The odd issue was followed by other occurrences, like fans spinning at rates much faster than usually possible, and lights becoming so intensely bright they became blinding. One night, as my parents were going to bed after a long day of work and study, the lights suddenly turned on without anyone touching a switch. My father says he got up, turned the light off, and went back to bed. And the light turned back on as soon as he laid down. Again, he got up, turned it off, and laid back down. This cycle continued 5 or 6 times before my father said he angrily yelled for whatever was going on to stop. He says after that, the lights and fans never seemed to have an issue again. On a different night, some time after the experiences with the lights, my father says he was awoken to the sound of one of my toys making noises downstairs. The toy was one that was made to make a variety of sounds dependent on where it was stepped on. My father remembers being very confused as to what he was hearing, knowing good and well I was in my crib and the two dogs were in his room. At this point, he suspected an intruder, accidentally nudging the toy. He grabbed his handgun from his nightstand and crept downstairs, fully expecting to see someone in the living room or kitchen. He looked towards the back door from the stairs and realized that our alarm system had not actually gone off. It was still armed. Once he reached the bottom of the steps, the noises from the toy ceased. The toy was designed to be used by feet, but he could see impressions of someone's feet on the toy. like they'd slammed down with such conviction they were trying to crush it with each step. After that occurrence, things seemed to completely stop. Following that period, we moved into another house in Tampa, Florida, and we never really had any strange experiences. But that all changed when we made the move to Oklahoma in 2007. During the move, everyone was in good spirits. We were closer to our family, my father was beginning his new job, the house was newly built, ready to go. We lived in this house from 2007 to 2015, 8 years in total. And things started out as you'd expect. Really nice, nothing to worry about, nothing out of the ordinary. At this point in my life, I was no longer an only child, with my younger sister being born in 2006. She had an imaginary friend, as young children do. She had several. We heard about one very frequently, though. One she liked to call Little Fella. The description of this friend seemed to change from time to time. She'd describe him as anything from a pink little monster, which was very similar to a toy she had, so nobody thought anything of it, until one day my mum was working in her office, and she heard my sister hysterically laughing. My sister was supposed to be down for a nap, so my mother was a little startled. She crept up the stairs, trying not to let my sister see her in case she decided to pretend to fall back asleep. And she watched my sister, from the top of the stairs, toss and turn while laughing, as if someone was tickling her. But then, my sister's laughter rapidly turned to crying, with my sister yelling, "Stop! You're hurting me!" My mother ran into the room, looking round, expecting someone to appear from thin air. As expected, there was no one else in the room. My sister at this point seemed totally fine, and acting like her normal self. My mum, still somewhat puzzled, let it go. Shortly after that puzzling experience, my sister was eating lunch at our kitchen table that had three large windows beside it that looked into the backyard. My dad was home from work for his lunch break, and he was the only one with her in the kitchen. My sister, spoon to mouth, had been staring out into the backyard for some time before my father asked her what she was looking at. She replied, "Just that man in the suit." My father told me he asked her to repeat herself. And again, she said the same thing about the man in the suit. At this point, my dad became slightly confused, not to mention on edge. He asked her to describe the man, and she said he had on a pink suit. He had a beard, and he looked really angry. I always picture my father's face, what it looks like when he tells us this story. Pale, worried, anxious. Once my sister said that, he picked her up from the table and immediately took her to a different room. He later looked around in the backyard for signs of anyone being there and found nothing. Other things happened around this time included heavy footsteps on the stairs that seemed to disappear right when you'd think you were about to see someone cross over the landing. There were also numerous times my family, including myself, would see things from the corner of our eyes that would vanish if we tried to look directly at them. As a family, we all experienced feelings of feeling watched, especially at times when we were alone in the house. While my mother was away on work, my father was getting ready for bed like normal. He flipped on the TV and lay back in bed for the night. After a short while, he decided to turn off the TV and have a few moments, and after he did so, he saw a shadow figure in the shape of a person glide past the foot of the bed and whisper an aggressive, "Hey." He was not the only person in the family seeing these shadows either. My sister says she remembers on many occasions waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a tall, shadowy figure move into my room. She remembers seeing this figure and instantly being filled with a feeling of unnatural fear. She also remembers waking up on other instances, looking at her doorway, and seeing the silhouette of a girl stood watching her. She never spoke, she never moved, she just watched. My auntie would come and visit fairly regularly and stay with my sister in her room. One night, she heard something hit the floor in the connected bathroom. So she got out of bed and saw that the tissue box cover that normally sat on top of the toilet was now on the floor. So she chalked it up to someone placing it too close to the edge. She picked it up and placed it back where it belonged. As soon as she touched the bed sheets, she heard the same noise again. She returned to the bathroom and again saw the box on the floor. This time she placed it further back on the toilet, further than normal, and waited a moment before stepping back out to the bedroom. This time, before she could even touch the bed, it sounded like someone had violently picked up that box and threw it across the bathroom. At that point, she decided she wasn't going to go back in there, and she returned to bed, not wanting to anger who or what was in there. As you've probably noticed at this point, many of these experiences are from family members telling me what they've seen or gone through. I will go through my personal experiences now, following the explanation that shows many individuals have been seeing and hearing these odd phenomena. As stated previously, I always saw shadows out of my periphery, heard footsteps on the stairs when no one was there, but some of my experiences are more unique when compared to my other family members. For starters, my sister's room. I can still see the place as plain as day. I can still feel exactly how it felt standing on the landing of the stairs looking in. I hated the dark. Watching paranormal shows and movies, I was always afraid of things you cannot always see, especially whilst younger. At this point, I'm maybe 11 or 12. I did not enjoy being in the dark. Never did. Especially in my sister's room. To go down the stairs, though, you had to pass my sister's room. And every time I did so, I just could not look inside. Sometimes, though, I would force myself to, thinking I would somehow conquer my fear. I soon came to realize that the fear I felt about the dark versus the fear I felt about her room were two completely different things. Looking into her room in the dark made me feel uneasy. But uneasy like something was staring directly back at me. Something that I could not see. Something that blended in with the deep black of her dark room. I remember instances where I began sweating just standing outside looking in. It was more than some regular fear of the dark. It was more of a fear of something being in the dark. I always ran down those stairs in an effort to get past the room as soon as I could, and I remember always looking back, almost knowing that something might be right behind me, watching me or trying to catch me as I walked down those stairs. Does anyone really know what hormones do? There's so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. Let's leave that confusion behind as we head into the holiday season. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Perfect for enjoying the holidays and heading into the new year energized. You've heard me talk about them before, and Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormonal imbalances. The company surveyed 1,831 women to see how Hormone Harmony helped them, and the results are mind-blowing. 86% of women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and 100% say they feel like themselves again. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying they gladly recommend it to friends and family. This holiday season, give yourself or the women in your life the gift of wellness. Because for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. Personally, I can find it really hard to focus, and as a non-drinker, I can also find it tricky to try and wind down. And how you go about finding your personal vibe is your individual choice. Do you know there's a 100% American farm-grown online cannabis company that ship federally legal THC direct to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients so they can target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And our listeners get 20% off their first order at Mood.com with the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that just get you high. Mood gummies are optimized so it can take as little as 15 minutes to take you to the mood you desire. Like the Mind Magic gummies for creativity and focus. Or PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings. And there's a plethora of other gummies for you to find your perfect mood. These days we all know gummies just to get high can be bought from just about anywhere. But Mood have changed the game by combining premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood in as little as 15 minutes with no dispensary lines or no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered discreetly to your door. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as mentioned, our listeners can get 20% off their first order by entering the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. So go to Mood.com and find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood find your perfect mood. And don't forget to enter the promo code DARKPARANORMAL for 20% off. Today's episode of The Dark Paranormal is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Companies and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Another strange phenomenon I experienced was an urge to just throw myself down those stairs. Now, I know that this can be a strange, semi-common phenomena where people can experience this in high places. But I never had this feeling anywhere else. Only at the top of those stairs. The stairs where the footsteps always seemed to stop. My sister's room was not the only one that felt off. Our game room, which was across the hall, consisted of games, consoles and a TV. It was where my friends and I spent most of our time hanging out or having sleepovers. I always remember that room in particular having a sharp temperature drop compared to the other rooms on the very same floor. It was always much colder. This was also where my friend had a conversation with someone or something that he believed to be me. He'd came over earlier in the day and we'd went to the game room as per usual. We sat down on the couch to start playing video games, and he felt someone pull on his hair. Originally, he thought it was my sister, since she did enjoy messing with my friends from time to time. But she was not at home. I remember seeing his face drop from laughter to worry. Later that evening, I felt that same very tug on my hair, the one that he described. I played it off like nothing had happened, but inside, I was terrified. Eventually, I fell asleep after playing some video games. The next morning, my friend woke me up and told me that he'd had a full conversation with someone or something he thought was me. He said I was saying some strange things that he didn't understand. I told him I don't remember waking up, and no one has ever told me that I talk in my sleep. We both looked at each other for a short while longer in silence, as we both tried to wrap our head around what could have happened that previous night. Somehow we got past it and carried on with the day. We never really talked about it again. After a few more years in that house, my family moved to a different house located in the same town. The activity that we'd known for almost 8 years seemed to vanish. No more footsteps, no more shadows in the corner of your eye, no more shadowy figures. Everything seemed to be in a persistent state of calm. At this point, I was in high school, and I went the full 4 years without any experiences. I went to college, graduated, returned home to work before going to medical school. Every morning before work, I would wake up early, go grab a coffee to wake myself up, and my parents have 2 dogs and cats. They use a baby gate to stop the dogs getting into the cat's food in her room. So it would not be unusual to hear the cat jump on top of that gate and climb into her room at all hours of the day or night. As I got up one morning to get dressed, I hear a violent slam, like someone had forcefully thrown the gate shut. I stood there for a moment, stunned, wondering who the hell would be up this early hour besides me, and why are they slamming that gate? I go out into the hall and see the gate is shut. I look intently for the cat, and she's nowhere to be found. Normally, if someone were to slam the gate in such a way, it would be ajar. Later that day, I asked my auntie, who was staying with us at the time, if she'd gone into the cat room that morning, and she replied, "No, but I heard the gate slam. Was that not you?" she asked. I felt chills run through my body. Nope, it definitely wasn't me," I said. I began wondering, after all this time, could these strange occurrences be coming back? Shortly thereafter, I began having strange dreams. They would begin with me getting up out of my bed, being in full control, walking into the hall towards the living room. The house felt empty, but at the same time I had this gut feeling I was not alone. I can picture the dream perfectly, and I will still sometimes experience it. I walk down the hall and see the light coming through the windows, and my vision begins to blur. Then I'm unable to walk or speak. I look up and see a shadow in the shape of a man making its way towards me. I always try to get back to my room, but my legs feel like they're stuck in jello. I close my eyes and desperately try to wake myself up. I know that this is a dream, but in the back of my mind, I always ask myself, is it? Really? After these dreams, I wake up sweating, panting, a feeling of immense fear filling me. I'm usually reluctantly able to go back to sleep, though. However, when I have those dreams, the morning after, I will always find a group of 3 linear scratches on my ribcage, back, or chest. Knowing what I do about the paranormal, this really frightens me. When I moved out of my parents' house, I got married and moved away for more school. The dreams came with me. but often more infrequently. As everyone knows, when one thing ends, another usually begins. In the first place my wife and I moved into, we didn't have a whole lot of space, but we were happy. Our town was nice, the neighbours were friendly, and it felt very homely. One of the first nights after we moved in, I'm laying next to my wife, in bed, lights out, a dark room, and suddenly that room becomes somehow darker. More dark than it already was. I was laying down, facing my wife's side of the bed, and I could see her with my own two eyes. Her back was turned to me, but only a few inches away. Yet for some reason, it felt like she was on the other side of the world. I began to have an unsettling feeling creeping up inside me. My hair stood on end. Something was terribly wrong. The darkness around me seemed to keep closing in closer and closer until it felt like it came to a point. I began to sense that something was behind me, something with evil intentions. The fear continued to bubble away inside me. I knew that if I turned round, I would see something that I definitely did not want to see. At this point, I was trying to talk to my wife or nudge her awake. I tried talking, but no sound came out of my mouth. I couldn't move. I was frozen. Once again, I closed my eyes and prayed for all this to be over. After what felt like an eternity, I jolted upwards, tears running down my face, gasping for air. This woke my wife, startled, asking me what was wrong. And I didn't know what to tell her. I couldn't explain what I'd just experienced. These episodes would continue to happen, and they still do from time to time. And I'm not exactly sure why I still experience them. My wife has never experienced a single thing like this, and I do continue to wonder if maybe one day I will have more odd experiences like I had growing up. I wonder if these dreams are a way of telling me to not disregard my previous experiences. Kevin, I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've shared with you. And I appreciate you having an outlet for your listeners to share their experiences. I hope all that listened could connect in some way with my experiences. Take care, Damon. Damon, thank you so much for this experience, because it's one of those I love. It has so many tendrils you could spend hours investigating. Again, you guys know I use the term validator quite a lot. Yet this experience or series of experiences contains something that makes me want to go back and reread almost every submission I've ever had. Because to me at least, it's a validator, but with an implied unknown story sitting behind it. And what that is your father's reaction when your sister describes the man in the suit that she witnessed in the backyard. Damon, you managed to cover it in a sentence, but through that one sentence, it made me wonder about what the relationship is between your father and this entity. It sounds like he recognized the entity being described, and then later you refer to his face being pale whenever he regales this tale. And as our Patreons know, I love open-ended experiences, where your brain can theorize on what was causal, what was a possible rational answer, and what remains left to pick through. And as for the overall scenario, Damon, it seems like one of those houses, I think it was the second one, where your sister said she could see shadows going into your room, she also witnessed a girl stood in her doorframe. That is a bona fide haunted house. The experiences didn't seem to care who witnessed them, from your friend, your auntie, the majority of your family members. Although there is a slight implication that your entire family has some sort of link to the other side. But an interesting thing is, i.e. in your sister's case, and in your father's case, where the silhouette said, hey, that implies sentience, not a residual haunting. Another sentence from you which backs this up is your father demanding that the lights stop playing up, and on his command they do. Again, implying sentience, because a residual haunting realistically isn't aware of you, or 99.9% of the time is not aware of you. So I'm thinking of a rather far-out theory in regards to your entire situation. So these spirits, i.e. your sister described a young entity, a girl. Your dad seems to have experienced that shadow entity who said, hey, and I grant this is a stretch, but none of us know. That's the point. That's why this is such an enjoyable activity, to posit these theories. Now, recently I posited that perhaps when you move from an actively haunted place, its supernaturalness, for want of a much better word, surround you like an aroma. The analogy I used at the time was if you spent the day cooking fish and you then go to the supermarket, people will smell the fish on you, even though you're far, far away from the causal effect of that smell. And I theorized that that could be the case for people who've spent their time or years of their life engulfed in a paranormal environment. Maybe there is some sort of lingering, for want of a definite better phrase, aroma that can follow you around from place to place. But venturing further into the we will never know idea of theoretical paranormal ideas on this, the house where you all seem to have your own spirit, i.e. your mother witnessed something, your sister had the girl in the bedroom, she witnessed shadows going into your room, your father had the spirit saying, hey, what if there was some sort of dark energy within that house that gave you all your own spirit? For whatever reason. And when you left, that spirit had two choices, to become obsolete or to follow you. And I think anyone who's sentient chooses option two. But Damon, I want to thank you. As I say, there are so many tendrils on this that it makes me really look forward to doing our new show After Dark on Sunday, so I can put forward more of these theories. As I say, if you'd like to become a patron, the links are in the show notes. But Damon, thank you so much for giving us our penultimate episode of Season 22 for The Dark Paranormal. Don't forget, the day to put in your diaries is Friday, January the 23rd, for the start of our 23rd season. And as I say, things will have changed, but it is still your show. It will still be fully recognisable. We've just taken feedback from you guys and we've applied it. And we'll see how it goes. But I can't wait to speak to each and every one of you next week for our finale of Season 22, my favourite season so far. And to all of you, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas, and with New Year just around the corner, may it bring everything that you need. People say everything I want, but everything you need. That's good enough, I think. And also remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next Friday for the finale of Season 22 of The Dark Paranormal.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.